One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a prison.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us over on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. Have you rated the show yet? We're still having to play this stupid game. I personally don't care what the rating of the show is, but it matters for the algorithm. So if you haven't done so, consider giving us 5 stars. If you think we've earned it, just scroll down to the bottom. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io. It's the best website to do that. You can check out everything that we've got going on over there with the books and the podcasts, and also it will directly connect you to both activistposts.com and naturalblaze.com. So if you haven't set that, bookmark that yet for your news, I hope that you will consider checking it out. We're doing outstanding things at Activist Post. We're adding new features every week, and it's a great one-stop shop for you to get all of the information on the stories that you like. And if you like this podcast, I'm telling you right now, you're going to love Activist Post. So go ahead and check it out over there. Big thank you to the sponsors that make this show possible. We've got a new one, Van Man. Are you familiar with Van Man? They have great products. And they have great packaging too, which I know, you know, doesn't mean anything except that it helps. You know, I think all that stuff, I have a marketing degree, so I'm a little bit predisposed to liking companies that have great packaging. But it's not just the packaging, it's the products too. And the team behind it, the team is ideologically aligned to the sorts of things that we're talking about, if you know what I mean. You can check out what they've got, tallow and coconut soap over there. I've got Van Man's vanilla body butter in a nice little jar. You can get the tallow and honey balm. I've got tooth powder in my bathroom over there. You can, there's all kinds of stuff. They have a peppermint aloe mouth rinse, so you can find that, vanilla body butter. there's a lot happening over there. My suggestion to you, just go to the website. See what you think. Check it out if you haven't done it yet. Vanman.shop. www.vanman.shop. If you find something that you like, the discount code on your way out the door is macro. That'll save you a little bit of money. They have free shipping on if you order over a certain amount. So check it out. Yeah, you want to get yourself some products, or if there's somebody in your life that you're having a hard time shopping for and you know that they, you know, there's a lady in your life that you want to give some of this to, I guarantee you she's not going to find this elsewhere. So go to vanman.shop. See for yourself. Get in the van, man. And also Legal Shield. Good Lord. Legal Shield is about the best money you will ever spend. I'm telling you right now. If you're in the United States and Canada, you should go to our website, don'tgetpushedaround.com, and just check it out for yourself. Because for $30 a month, roughly a dollar a day, you're going to have access to an attorney in your area that will get you, they'll hook you up with whatever you need. I've used them recently. You get an app on your phone. You just click a couple buttons and go over there and let them know what you're looking for. If you're somebody that needs your last will and testament, medical directive, financial power of attorney, it's easy as just going to the app, clicking, I need documents, and then there's a dropdown that'll come down. Just check a few of them, then submit it, and an attorney in your area will contact you within the next day and say, yeah, I saw that you're looking for these documents. We can do that. We can help you with it. This is what we'll need. Let's set up an appointment. Have you come into the office and knock it all out? So, boy, not only is it the best money you'll spend, but you've got to be proactive about this. You've got to get these documents taken care of, get them done, put them in your safe, then don't have to worry about it. But if you're going to spend a couple $1,000s on an attorney, might as well just get Legal Shield. It'll keep you going for the next few years, and you can use it for all kinds of things. I just had to use it to settle some nonsense collections item that had been sent to collection about my mom's cable box. Those fuckers, they're just the worst over at Cox Communication. But we got it sorted out because I sent it over to Legal Shield and they're like, we're on it. We'll take care of it. Done. Handled. So if you're interested, if there's something that you, if you run a small business and you think you don't have a legal department, but you need some legal representation, if your work wants you to sign a new employment contract that has some dubious language in there about what you agree to do medically, send it to your attorney. Rich people have attorneys. They send everything over there. Just let them do their thing. I think you'll be happy. Go to www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. All right, let's get into this. Let's talk about Trump. I hate to keep giving this guy energy. You know, he sucks it all up out of the room. He's a undeniable force. I'm not saying he's good, but I'm just saying that he has a presence to him. And we're going to call this one the good, the bad, and the orange. And we'll talk about the good things that he's done, because he has done some good things. Let's not be black-pilled here. But he's done some bad things, too. And then he's just done some real Trumpian things that I'm just going to classify as orange. And I think you know what I'm talking about there. So I guess my first question is, are you guys all enjoying Season 2, Episode 1? Of the Trump show, it's back. He got renewed for a second season. They had that dirty old pedophile in there for one season, but things fizzled out, and they couldn't get that vice president retard to string a sentence together long enough to get installed as the next dictator. So it's Trump. He's back. He's back. Almost like it was scripted to be that way. Oh boy. But I mean, listen, if it was scripted, that would imply that he is an act. Oh wait, hang on a second. He does have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Shame as an actor. He's also in the WWE Hall of Fame as not a wrestler, as an actor. And he was also the host of The Apprentice. You remember The Apprentice? It was a TV show that ran for a pretty long time. Was it real life? No, it's not real life. He's an actor. He's playing a role. You're fired. He's playing the role. He's got a catch line and everything, right? So it's all fake, probably a bit gay, but definitely fake. And he is, unfortunately, our generation's Ronald Reagan, an actor turned president twice. But as they say, all the world is a stage, and this is a show, and it feels like a show. And there's parts of the show that you like, and there's parts of it that you go, this is so fake, you know, it seems so unnatural. But he is funny. Yeah, he's the funniest president ever. Let's be honest. I mean, when he goes sort of off the cuff and starts ripping on people in the audience, even when he's just playing, like playfully playing around with people, he's funny. And it's undeniable. I don't think that the left finds his sense of humor appealing, but they also can't meme. So, you know, I don't really take their advice when it comes to humor. But he's charming. At times, he's charming. He's a dick often as well. I mean, you can definitely, he's vindictive, holds a grudge, does all that stuff. He's smart at times. You know, he says some insightful things at times. There's other times when you think, God, I thought you were smarter than this. How can you not figure this out? He's most definitely obnoxious. You know, he's an interesting guy. And I think that covers quite a bit of ground. It doesn't mean he's good. Doesn't mean he's necessarily bad. He's had an interesting run. Some of it, and it feels, a lot of it feels manufactured to me. But he's somebody that has used the media for his own benefit for a long time. You know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous in the 80s, and showing what an extravagant life he has, and how charming he can be. And he's used that to his advantage. He's used lawfare like nobody's business, of course. You know, I think at one time there were like thousands of ongoing lawsuits against the Trump administration or the Trump organization. So he's no stranger to being inside a courtroom for a variety of things. But he is also part of a much larger performance that is happening worldwide. Everyone plays their part, right? And he is there. He has been recast, Trump 2, Electric Boogaloo, back in action. And for a segment of the population, it's just too much. And that is the one component of Trump that I do like. He makes all the correct people freak out. You know, all the people that are very thin skinned and limp wristed, and you know, that everyone on MSNBC who, you know, melts down over it. Joy Reid can't, you know, go 5 minutes without making up some lies about Trump. There's plenty of factual things you could use to slander or point out, you know, that Trump is involved in. The fact that these people feel the need to go out and make up lies about him seems like a poor strategy. But then again, they work at MSNBC, so what do you expect? It does feel like a bit of a show. And, you know, poof, there go regulations. Poof. The energy market is now open for business. Poof, there goes the woke agenda. There goes child transition surgery, right? So let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about the good. We'll get into the bad. There's plenty of it. And we'll get into the very orange of it all. And orange you glad Trump is back, because you're going to be entertained for the next 4 years, or as long as he is allowed to remain alive. I still think that they want him dead. And you know, the shootings, the assassination attempts and all that felt very fake to me. The picture, you know, with him, the picture that was taken of him with his fist pumping and the blood and everyone and, you know, all the Secret Service guys and like the bright blue sky above him and everything, it was like Iwo Jima photo, you know, which, by the way, they had to stage. They had to do later in the day to get the photo right. So even the Iwo Jima symbolic photo was faked. But perfect encapsulation of Americana, if you ask me. So there's a bit about, you know, are they trying to kill him? Are they really trying to kill him? Look, maybe, maybe not. But I don't believe that the left's opinion of him is manufactured. I think they legitimately despise him. And I don't think they want what's best for the country. They want to win. They parade themselves around as though they're the arbiter of what's good and holy in this country, and it couldn't be further from the truth. So they don't want America to succeed with Donald Trump. They want their guy to be in there, or their girl, Kamala, empty suit, to be in there and continue to do things their way, which, I'll be honest with you, I don't see a path towards the Democrats taking control of the presidency for a long time. Their messaging is totally crazy. They have not learned anything from the Kamala disaster. I see that she's talking about wanting to be the governor of California. Oh, you do that. You should do. I hope California does it. That'll just be the final nail in their coffin. And I say that as somebody that lived in California for over 30 years. And I am well within my right to say that. You guys elect Kamala Harris to be the governor of your state, you get what you deserve. But I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the good. I will give Trump credit for holding up his end of the bargain with Ross Ulbricht, getting him out of prison on a double life plus 40-year stretch for the Silk Road. And if you take a look at that Silk Road, all the legality behind that, or illegality, I should say, that was Obama's Justice Department that's just as dirty as Biden's, and what they did to Ross was beyond belief. And thank God he's out. And I was hoping he would be, I was hoping he'd be at an Acapulco. But he has a life to lead. And I'm glad he's out there able to do that. Okay, let's talk about Trump's idea of the golden passport. It's got to be gold, right? Of course, it's got to be the gaudy, tacky gold that he loves so much. All his buildings are wrapped in gold. His fucking bathroom sink, gold faucets. It's very 80s. I don't know. I'm no interior designer. I'll leave that to my business partner, but she would tell you the gold is dumb, looks stupid. And his obsession with gold is somehow perfectly on brand as well. So, but the golden passport, have you heard about this idea? Okay. I'm open to it. He was talking about $5 million investment by, you know, you come in, invest $5 million. It's basically like buying yourself citizenship with the United States. And then, and some of the details are a bit murky. I don't know. Maybe you pay worldwide taxes. Maybe you don't. I don't know. I'd have to see the details of it to determine whether or not it's actually a good idea or not, but it's an interesting idea. And citizenship by investment, it exists all over the place, especially in the Caribbean. You can do that with a lot of countries. They find that they don't have any sort of natural resources. They don't have anything necessarily of their country that they can offer, but they can offer citizenship. It is technically an asset that they could sell. And so if you want to invest in some of these countries, you can do so. And they're all a bit different, but you get a... you get a passport and you can use that to travel on or escape your home country or whatever. It's a good idea. It's such a good idea. I'm a little bit surprised Trump came up with it. I mean, or somebody in his administration did. I'll tell you what, I'd like to see it taken a step further though. I not just that the government can sell citizenship for $5 million to some foreign person. What if, this is crazy, but what if you as a citizen could sell your citizenship to somebody else for $5 million? Would you be interested in that? I certainly would. You're going to, So I'm no longer, I gotta leave the U.S. or else I'm illegal in here, get thrown over the border. But I can go take that $5 million and I can go buy myself a citizenship in St. Kitts or someplace in the islands, move down there or move wherever. And I'd be open to that. I think a lot of people would. I think you'd actually see the United States clear out. There'd be a bunch of people saying, that works for me. I don't have any tangible assets, but I've got this American citizenship that I've been told is valuable. Everyone wants to come here. I don't really feel like I'm living the American dream. If someone wants to buy it from me for $5 million, sure, let's go. That wouldn't help the government at all, but it would certainly help some people. So, interested. I'm interested in hearing more about his golden passport situation. Closing down USAID and National Endowment for Democracy. These are great. This is a great thing. Now, technically, we got to be correct about this. They didn't close down USAID. They just moved it under the State Department. So instead of it answering directly to the CIA, it now answers to the State Department, which is run by Marco Rubio, who's a Israel-first lunatic with small hands, who is a weirdo drinking water, if you remember his debates. So I'm not exactly ecstatic that it now reports to this guy, but it's undeniably better than it was before. And I think more so than anything, just getting people to talk about USAID. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second here. But just getting people to have the conversation that didn't know anything about it, that's a victory. That's for sure a win. And National Endowment for Democracy and USAID are sister organizations. They're both directly underneath the CIA. They do similar functions. They do in public what the CIA has been doing in private for decades. In calling, one of the things he did that was great, very Trumpian, was to also call the heads of these divisions, quote, radical lunatics, which they are, which is great. I'm glad he used that terminology. They are radical and they are completely unhinged. And the things that they were doing around the globe, just wait until the general public figures it out. Wait until the general public goes beyond, oh, they're using propaganda, or oh, they're regime changing these foreign governments. It's like, yeah, they're doing all that. And depending on which country they're in, they're deeply involved in depopulation. They've been used as a CIA org to handle Kissinger's National Security Council Memorandum 200 that he put out in 74, talking about our policy towards the third world is that of depopulation. So who runs that? USAID is involved in that. They are the ones that hire, they take the money, CIA gives them money, they then take the money and they spread it out to these NGOs. The NGOs run the vaccination programs and the contraceptive programs and the education system programs. Remember, this is where they educate certain countries up to a fourth grade level because they've found that if you do that, that's the biggest bang for your buck in terms of getting people just smart enough so that they don't have 8 kids anymore. They only have 5.5 kids. And that's a calculation that USAID was involved in making, where they determined that you don't need to educate them to the 5th grade or 6th grade or 12th grade level. It doesn't do any good. Once you get them just to 4th grade, that's enough so that they won't have the additional kids. It's horrible. It's horrible policy, but that's reality. That's the truth of what they do. I thought it was great that Trump was pointing out how much money the media gets from USAID. And who gets it? The mainstream alternative media we're seeing, they're getting this. It comes through, it's got to go through 4 different sources and it winds up in the pockets of people who are selling the narratives that they want crafted, not just internationally, but locally as well, locally inside America. So look, I love watching these people walk out of their building holding their cardboard box with their plant in it and their all their little knickknacks that they had at their office, walking out with tears streaming down their eyes. Good. You deserve it. I'm glad. I'm glad that they're losing their jobs. If it were up to me, they would all lose their jobs. It would be, there'd be a million unemployed people in Washington, D.C. Because if you work for the empire, you get no respect from me. And if you lose your job and your job was working for the Agency for International Development, which is regime-changing countries and sterilizing women and controlling the population of foreign countries, then you're on the wrong side of humanity. And you should thank whoever you pray to that you lost your job, because at least now you have a chance to redeem yourself. So I love it. I'm glad they booted NPR and PBS and NBC and Politico and New York Times from the Pentagon. I'm glad they did all of that. But how dirty was USAID? Well, you can go back and listen to some of the previous episodes that we've done talking about that, because I feel like a broken record screaming. But I think it's important to know, let's put some additional facts to it for those who are maybe new to what this agency was involved in. You mentioned the media. And the media is a huge part of what they do. It's controlling the message, it's narrative management. And it's typically international. But you would be surprised to see how much of it bleeds into the domestic as well. But they had under their control 6,200 journalists, prostitutes, I would call them. 707 different media outlets were receiving money from USAID worldwide. 279 different media NGOs. Talked about the role of NGOs in doing the covert depopulation. Well, the media's role in that, it happens as well. You know, they're doing the ad campaigns of, you know, here's birth control. This is what birth control is. This is what condoms are. This is how you use them. This is whatever. So you've got a media narrative, as always, of course, running alongside the medical narrative that they're trying to shape, which is, we got to find out a way to get these brown people to stop having so many fucking kids. You know, that's what Kissinger was talking about. Because if they have too many kids, this country becomes hard for us to keep control of. It becomes destabilized. And so we've got to have a manageable amount of people that we can run in these foreign countries. So that's why they financed 279 different media NGOs, is to make sure that the messaging is getting out there. 90% of Ukraine's media, 90% of Ukraine's media was being paid off by USAID. I mean, that's really kind of all you need to know about that. So let's talk about what they did. They gave a company called Internews Network, they gave them $472 million. And this Internews Network is something that you don't really know too much about. I mean, you don't hear too much about it. They've got offices in London. They've got offices in the USA. And they've got offices in Kiev. Okay. And what they do is they manage 4,291 different media outlets. And they are responsible. Those outlets put out 4,799 hours of broadcasts, which is quite a bit. And they estimate that they reach close to 780 million people. This is just one group. This is one group. Internews Network. Within this Internews Network, which, by the way, is run by a lady named Jeannie Burgot. And she worked for 6 years at USAID, no surprise there. And now she runs this operation, and this operation works with Open Society Foundation, Soros, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Rockefellers, obviously, Charles Mott Foundation, depopulation, UN Centers for Human Rights, world government and depopulation, and And they've worked all around the world with these people. So this group, this Internews Network, what they do is they take this, let's just round up and say 500 million. So half a billion dollars that they've got. And they go out and they sprinkle it around to a variety of journalists. One of the things that they've done is they've started journalism training class. And I would put training in air quotes there because it's not, let's teach you how to be a good journalist who checks all your sources and notates everything and puts the footnotes in and conjugates your, does all the grammatical things you need to do. No. It's none of that. Nobody gives a shit about that. What they're interested in doing is training journalists in order to become better propagandists. And it's not just a couple that they have. They have put 9,000 journalists through their training program. So if you're somebody that has gone to work and been trained by Internews Network, I'm here to explain to you that you are part of the problem. You have been trained in propaganda. They have used propaganda against you to get you to become a part of the media complex. And they also use some of this $500 million to finance social media censorship, which I'm sure you're really surprised of. One of the things that this group has done is that they are in bed with the World Economic Forum. They are financed in part by the MacArthur Foundation, depopulation, and the Knight Foundation, depopulation. And the founder of this, Jeannie Bergault, who I mentioned, gave $10 million to the Clinton Global Initiative. I'm sure to help finance Chelsea's wedding, right? Get her that wedding dress that makes her look like a human being and not a bloodthirsty lunatic like she is. This is how it works. USAID gets money from the federal government, and then it uses that money like a seed funding, venture capital firm, something like that. They go around, sprinkle it around. Some investments are better than others, but you take a $500 million and give it to Internews Network, and if you can reach 780 million people, that's a good bang for your buck. If you can get 9,000 journalists to start writing or discussing the news of these international news stories the way you want them to talk about it, then you've got control of the messaging. And if anything goes wrong and people start to say, I think this is some sort of propaganda outfit here, it falls on Internews Network. Which it is, of course, you would be right to come to that conclusion. But then what are you going to do? We need to disband Internews Network. Okay, well, that's fine. There will just be another one. You know, with a $500 million, you can build up a new network pretty quick. So this is how they create this plausible deniability. And this is how it was set up with Kissinger in that 74 memo, because they said that when we're going to do depopulation, in order to create a barrier between the government of America and the government of the host nation, we're going to have these NGOs do the dirty work so that if anything goes wrong, it blows back on them, not us, right? So that is the plan for depopulation. You run the same plan with USAID and the media, and this is what they've done. Let's move on real quick just to National Endowment for Democracy, and I won't go too far on this because, like I said, it is a sister agency that reports to the CIA the same way. It used to be, like I said, does things that the CIA cannot be seen doing, things they used to do in public back in the 70s. They don't do that anymore because, it's kind of tough with that CIA name that everybody knows. So instead, they create these other agencies and they go, well, you go do that stuff that we're not allowed to do anymore, or that it's bad PR for us to do. So National Endowment for Democracy sounds like you're just out there spreading democracy around with this big endowment fund. Well, yeah, kind of. You're only spreading it around if the people are amenable to the dictates of the American Empire, but you get on the wrong side of them and they'll regime change your ass. And that's what USAID and NED did. So they were created in 1983 by Reagan, And here's a quote from Alan Weinstein from National Endowment for Democracy. A lot of what we do today was done covertly 25 years ago by the CIA.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were labeled by Putin back a decade ago. He called them a, quote, undesirable NGO.
Yeah,
that's putting it mildly. So look, these are some of the good things that Trump's done. I like that tons of government waste is being exposed. I like that. We need to give this country a coffee enema to flush out all the shit that has been clogging it up for so long. We need to end and defund many more agencies, cut more woke spending, you know, send a million government workers to the unemployment office. Then they can deal with unemployment, and then they can deal with the state workers that work there that have zero incentive to do a good job, and then they can be on the receiving end of that. If you've ever dealt with the unemployment agencies, then you know what I'm talking about. Good luck with that. They're not very helpful. So I do take a tiny bit of pleasure in former government workers getting fired and then having to deal with other government workers in order to get their benefits, and watching how antiquated that process is, and how you get to, you don't get much work done from those people. So good. I hope these people cry themselves to sleep and think, I was so close to getting my pension with USAID, and then the big bad man came in and fired me. Good, good, good. I hope you never get a job again. You're unemployable. I'll tell you what, man. You put USAID on your resume and then go shop yourself around to try and get a job somewhere else, you should be laughed out of every office you go into. I mean, I hope that is a stain on your record, on your permanent record forever. So look, I like these things and I enjoy watching this happen. And I can also realize that we are sprinting into a technocracy. So it is important to recognize that you can hold multiple thoughts at the same time. Is it great that these people are losing their jobs? Yes. Does it mean that USAID is going away forever? No, probably not, but it's a good start. Do I like the idea of them firing a bunch of IRS agents and CIA agents? Yes, I like all of that. Does it mean that, unfortunately, we're a little bit closer to the technocracy because maybe we don't need these people to begin with? Yeah, that too. So it is possible that you can have two thoughts at the same time, where you cheerlead the destruction of this nanny state that's being built up, and also be paranoid that they've made a calculation that they didn't need these people anyway, that these people were expendable, and we don't necessarily need them because we've got AI that's going to do the job for them, and it's going to be better because there's not going to be any pushback. Look, that's all a huge problem for sure. So let's talk a little bit about the bad, shall we? It would have been a different kind of bad if Kamala had won. I'm certain of that. It would have been an extension of these weird woke policies. You certainly wouldn't have had the dismantling of USAID and the likes, and the idea of talking about firing government employees and all this. That just would have never happened. The state would have continued to grow, and it would have got, you know, it would have been woke-er, if that's possible, if that's even a word. It is now. So we dodged a bullet in that regard. And if you're somebody who has kids, you know, young kids, the idea of like tranny story time and my two daddies and we're going to stand and pledge allegiance to the pride flag and all that shit in the classroom, and like all that's going away. And that's a good thing, right? And like I said earlier, I'm glad that the mainstream media was thrown out of the Pentagon by Pete Hegseth, but replacing them with the New York Post and Breitbart and OANN and Huffington Post is no victory. This is right-wing propaganda is still propaganda. And the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 exists for both sides of the aisle. Handled under Obama, but Trump uses propaganda just as much as Obama and Biden did. And it will continue to ramp up. inviting Sam Altman and Larry Ellison into the government again, although they're already government contractors, but giving them a bigger role and entrusting them with $500 billion is about as bad of an idea as it gets. You know, it really is. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with the Trump's Brave New World, where the technocracy movement is very real. These nerds are going to get us all killed. And the role of AI in moving forward, though it's great that you don't need all these people in positions of power inside of government because they can go away now and be replaced by a computer, but you have to be careful who programmed that computer, right? It's only as noble as the person that's doing the back end programming of it. And unfortunately, it's guys like Sam Altman and Larry Ellison, eugenicists, and Peter Thiel, who's, you know, and Alex Karp, who I consider the American version of Noah Yuval Harari, the Zionist technocrat lunatic at the World Economic Forum, who's talking about how we don't have free will and there's no soul and things like that. So yeah, I've got big problems with this. And this is really bad. And I don't think we should be dismissive of the role of these guys, these technocrats, because like on the one hand, if Kamala had won, we'd have all the wokeism. But I don't think that we would have the technocracy put together in this sort of way. I don't know that these guys would be in a huge hurry to partner up with Kamala the way they are with Trump. But if you want to pull something that's deeply unpopular to the right, the conservatives, you're going to have the conservative guy, Trump, do it to get their approval on it, to get them to go along with it. You couldn't have Kamala sell the technocracy movement to Trump's people. They would rightly, you know, mock her and laugh her out of the room. There's no way they would get on board with this. We saw this during the vaccine rollout too. There were people that were like, people on the left are like, I'll be damned if I'm going to take one of those Trump vaccines. You know, there'd be a cold day in hell before I take one of those Trump vaccines. Then Biden gets in office and the same people are like, you know, vaccinate me harder, daddy. It's like, well, wait, because it's your guy that's doing it? Of course. And that is the answer. So if you want to sell something deeply unpopular to the Republicans, you got to have the Republican do it. That's it. That's just how it works. And Elon Musk, he's not to be trusted. He's a transhumanist. He's a major Pentagon partner with Starlink and SpaceX and PayPal in the past, X.com when he was doing that, Boring Company, Tesla, SolarCity. They're all connected to the government. They all have some form of regulations that are controlled with, either they get money from it or they sign contracts, you know, they become partners of the Department of Defense, or you've got to work with the FCC for your Starlink, and you've got to deal with that for Twitter or whatever it is, X now. So you've got to manage that process between your businesses and the government when you own all these businesses. So this idea that Elon Musk is somehow above it all and not connected to the government, and he's going to go in there and fix the government. He is the government. He is a government contractor. That's what he does. All of his, he's not starting lawn care services that don't really require the government approval. He's starting rocket companies and car manufacturing, you know, all of these industries that need to have a foothold inside the government. So he is a government contractor if ever there was one. The question is he a good guy or a bad guy? Well, you know, he's funny. He says he says some things that you might associate with and you might like, and he certainly, you know, has fun with the woke people, but he wants to put brain chips in your head. He's a transhumanist. And when you are on that team, you know, when you're working with these technocrats in order to put, you know, yeah, we got to put the good brain chip in to counteract the bad brain chip. I mean, he actually said that. That's just crazy. So, you know, he curates reality through X, what you see, who you see, whose voices you hear. I don't follow him, but I get his, I see his posts 10 times a day because he is in charge of the curation of that platform in the same way that I am in charge of the curation of activist posts. The only difference is that my intention is to provide people with fantastic information. His intention is to create ideological cul-de-sacs where you just can't really get out of them and keep you there and subject you to the propaganda that he wants you to internalize or to add into your worldview. And he's a dangerous guy. And he's not a savior. He's most definitely not coming to fix you. He wants to turn X into America's WeChat with full banking features and all of that. So this is not what you're doing if you want to make this is not just about making money. This is about control. Let's talk about Trump. Another bad decision he's made, and that is his pick for Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick. Now, Howard loves Bitcoin, loves it, but he also runs Cantor Fitzgerald. You familiar with them? Yeah, you familiar? You remember? Let's get in our time machine and go back to 9/11, shall we? Instead of getting murked with everybody at his firm, Howard Lutnick decided, miraculously, to take his daughter to school that Tuesday morning instead of going into his offices at the World Trade Center. And had he been in his office, he would have been dead, along with the 658 other people from his firm, Cantor Fitzgerald, who died that day. They died because the first plane flew directly into their offices. Almost like there was a homing device placed inside the offices. That would make me a conspiracy theorist, though, if I were to mention something like that. I don't expect you to know the ins and outs of Howard Lutnick the way I do, because I've dug into this guy's past many years ago, in part because of his unsavory connections. But I happen to know that his address, and it's public, I'm not doxing him, but his address is 11 East 71st Street. Guess who lived at 9 East 71st Street? Right next door. Oh, none other than Jeffrey Epstein, his next door neighbor. Advanced knowledge of 9/11, Howard Lutnick, active participant in 9/11, is now running commerce for the United States. This is a huge problem. His ties to Israel are well known. You don't get involved in the 9/11 operation without being a deep operator. And Howard Lutnick is, which is probably the reason why he has been installed as the Commerce Secretary. He was Princess Fergie's, you know, Fergie from the UK. You know how they start children's charities and then those children's charities are always really sketchy and children seem to disappear that get in close contact to them? Well, Howard Lutnick is Prince Fergie's partner on a dubious London's children's charity with a history of sketchy shit and deep ties to Jimmy Savile on top of that. So, bad fucking guy. Even though he likes Bitcoin, really bad guy. And let's be honest here. Trump has horrible taste in people. We watched it in his first administration. We're seeing it again now. He is surrounding himself with some pretty reprehensible figures, but that's Donald Trump for you. Let's move on. Let's wrap up with this. We're going to talk about, we've talked about the good, we've talked about the bad, and there's more bad. Let me be clear. I don't want to turn this into a super negative show, but let's talk about the orange, right? Trump is a character in more ways than one. You could go to IMDb and find his many acting credits and find out just exactly how many characters he's played over the years. Home Alone? Home Alone 2? Or was it Home Alone 1? I forget. He was in that. Yeah. So just a reminder that he's an actor. And boy, I'll tell you, we saw, you want to talk about the orange of it all. That meeting in the White House with J.D. Vance and Zelensky. I would love for it to be real because Zelensky needed to be humiliated in front of the world. I would love for that to be more than just pro wrestling. Unfortunately, it's not. This is part of the stagecraft. If that had been an authentic meeting, it wouldn't have happened in front of all those cameras and all those people. But that was scripted reality. Nothing more, nothing less. You will never be able to convince me that wasn't the plan from the beginning. Now, Zelensky might not have been, he might not have known that he was going to be on the receiving end of that. But this idea that the American empire is going to take a hard stance with them is not happening because this is not administration specific. This is beyond. This is the military industrial complex making billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars with what they're doing in Ukraine. And that grift is extremely important to them. Biolabs, human trafficking, organ trafficking, drug trafficking, you know, whatever they're testing out there, mineral rights. Trump talks about how I'm going to take $1 trillion in mineral rights. The hell you are. Most of those minerals are locked up on the eastern side of the country, which Russia controls. So you're not taking that. And I know that it's an old economic hitman playbook to go in there and plunge a country into debt and then extract resources from them. But they've already done this. They've already done this with BlackRock. BlackRock signed a deal under the Biden administration to go in there and rebuild, be involved in the reconstitution of it. I mean, even down to like the parking meters. So it's already been plotted out. This is happening regardless. It's been, boy, to call it embarrassing to watch Trump's behavior with Netanyahu would be an understatement. Just out there tongue bathing that guy, gargling his balls while pulling out his chair for him. I mean, it is a level of cuckery I have never seen. Trump is owned by Israel. He is owned by Miriam Adelson, former wife of Sheldon Adelson, who is the head of the Jewish mafia in the United States, running an international crime syndicate that stretched from Israel to America to Hong Kong and their role in the casinos in China. So Trump took $100 million from Miriam Adelson and she got her money's worth. And what they wanted was the continued genocide of the Palestinian people. So to watch Donald Trump and Zelensky for that matter too, you know, Trump made that like offhanded comment about, you know, oh, you're going to get dressed up to see me, you know, because he comes in his military costume that he wears. But then you see the picture of Zelensky in a suit and tie when he's meeting with Netanyahu. Yeah, that tells you everything you need to know. So that very Trumpian fantasy AI video of Trump Gaza, that, you know, moving them all off of the land and with the USA providing real estate development, and they made that video where Trump and and Trump retweeted it or did what reposted it on his Truth Social with it. It's him and Netanyahu in like bathing suits sitting there, and there's a golden statue of Trump. I mean, it was so disgusting and completely on brand for America that you just had to watch it a couple times and go, boy, I mean, what are we doing? What is Trump doing? Really, is this really what you think we're going to do? Is we're going to relocate all the Palestinians to Egypt and Jordan, and we're just going to take Gaza and you're going to redevelop it, and it's going to be Trump Gaza? And is that what you honestly think? Because those people will fight. Those people have been fighting for a long time, and they are not going to go quietly. And you do not have the backing of the rest of the world. In fact, everybody else in the world thinks that you guys are bloodthirsty, genocidal maniacs. But that's Trump. He's a real estate developer at his core. He sees an opportunity. Let's clear all this rubble out, and then we'll put some mixed use in there, put some residential, build a great airport. We'll turn it into, the jewel of the Mediterranean. The hell you will. How about the Panama Canal? MAGA, baby. We're taking the Panama Canal. What about Greenland? You know, that's very Trump. That you're going to just go on an acquisition spree. There's a little bit more to the Panama Canal situation. I mean, it's a longer story than that, but you can kind of see where he's going with this. It's Monroe Doctrine 2.0. We're going to control our Western Hemisphere, and that includes Greenland, and it includes the Panama Canal, and we're going to make sure the Chinese don't get that. And, so you hear him talk big about that. That's just very, very orange of him to talk about, you know, the Gulf of America instead of the Gulf of Mexico. It's like, God, talk about focusing on nonsensical shit at the expense of real problems. And here we go. He launched a shit coin before inauguration, then rug pulled his bag holders, which is perfect, perfectly Trumpian, on brand, 1,000,000%, right? To do something like that, make a couple $100 million for yourself and then tank the coin so that everybody else loses. Boy, and then have the inauguration after that. Boy, welcome to Trump 2.0. Get your popcorn. He promised a Bitcoin strategic reserve. He gives us a Cardano, Solana, Ethereum, Bitcoin mix, sort of a little of everything. You know, he's just the master of promising one thing, delivering something else. He's the Temu president. You know, it looks great in the pictures, and then when you get it, it doesn't fit. It falls apart in the wash after one cycle. He promised the Epstein files, botched that with the binder rollout, making Pam Bondi, who's not just an Israeli asset, but also a Scientologist, which is a hell of a mix. Talk about a scrambled brain. Holy fucking shit. Do you imagine what's going on in that empty head of Pam Bondi, who's gone through, better get your e-reader out and do a Scientology check on her to make sure she's not having subversive thoughts between her and the Israelis programming what's going on in her head. That's a mess. And of course, you made all of these Israel first mainstream alternative media people look like complete jackasses, which is great. They should. When you see them all out there with their binders smiling, you know, they're such disgusting scumbags that they don't even understand. There's nothing to smile about with that. Let's just say, for the purposes of this episode, that there actually was information. There wasn't, but let's just say that there was. For you to gloat about it and to hold those binders up like you've done something important, like, let's come subscribe to my channel for more information about all this kid fucking that was going on, about how they destroyed the lives of all these girls, just ruined them. I mean, any woman that had to fuck Alan Dershowitz, you don't think she's in therapy for the rest of her life. So it was embarrassing to watch that. Not surprising, but embarrassing. What about the JFK files? You know, while we're talking about files, while we're talking about binders, do you think Mitt Romney got himself all worked up into a hot lather after all that binder talk? You know, he was kind of the original with his binders of women. The good old days. The good old days when we were just mocking Mitt Romney, that weirdo. I wonder, again, Kash Patel, head of the FBI. Interesting choice. Are we all on the same page that Kash Patel's girlfriend, the one that they've been parading out, look how hot she is, look how hot his girlfriend is. That's great. I just want to make sure that we're all clear that she used to work, she was a member of Israel's Unit 8200, right? Or do we know that? That the head of the FBI's girlfriend is an Israeli intelligence asset. I think that's worth knowing. I don't know. I don't know. The whole thing, the whole Trump 2.0, is, you know, it's just mixed, a mix of feelings. On the one hand, I'm glad that the Harris regime, God knows what we would have gotten with them. It would have been bad for logic and common sense and children. There would have been 100 more genders. Pride Month would have been the entire year. Probably would arrest you for not having a, you know, trans flag bumper sticker. You probably have to have that. And, you know, whatever. It would have just been insanity. It would have been really frustrating. And so I'm glad that that's gone. I'm glad that we're not living in that world. That's a fantastic, like anything's an upgrade from that, right? Well, maybe, maybe not though. Because here comes Trump with the technocracy movement, the Silicon Valley, Sand Hill Road bros that are coming in, and they're very good at what they do. It's not a bunch of bumbling buffoons like it would have been with Kamala. No, these guys are very skilled. They get shit done. That's the problem, is that you have to be careful what they're getting done. And unfortunately, it looks like they are streamlining the process of centralizing control into the hands of technocrats, digitally controlling everybody. So this does not feel like the victory that we were hoping it would be. I think a lot of us were honest, open about what we were going to expect, you know, with Trump. No delusions here, right? We know there's going to be some bad parts. I mean, he is Operation Warp Speed godfather, right? He's still talking about what a great idea it was with the vaccines. You know, you get this bait and switch presidency. RFK Jr., yay, what is he? He's against vaccines. Oh, great. He's going to come in there. He's going to clean up Health and Human Services. Oh, fantastic. What does he do? First time he gets a microphone in front of his face, he says, we've got to take the MMR vaccines, completely discrediting his entire life's work with one statement. And then on top of that, he said that the real focus for HHS is that we've got to deal with this rise of anti-Semitism. Did I catch anti-Semitism when I took a shower at the YMCA and didn't have my shower shoes on like athlete's foot? Do I have to go to the doctor to get rid of? Are you going to roll out a vaccine for anti-Semitism? Oh, I can't wait for that one. So it's the bait and switch administration, which doesn't feel good either. And then of course there's just Trump being Trump, the orange. Saying crazy shit, putting out AI videos of him redeveloping Gaza with his buddy Bibi, sitting in lawn chairs and banana hammocks, looking like a bunch of pedophiles, grifters. Boy, America, fuck yeah. You know, but what do you expect? Really, Trump's mentor was Roy Cohn, the Jeffrey Epstein of his day, running a homosexual blackmail entrapment operation in New York City. So he knows how things work, which means that there's got to be a control file on him somewhere, right? He who controls the file controls the world. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right this second of sharing it with your friends and family. Please rate the show. Connect with me, macroaggressions.io. Go to activistpost.com. Go to naturalblaze.com. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.